Right. We're reading from 1 Timothy chapter 4, which is page 1192 in the church Bibles. Okay. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such things come through hypocritical lies, whose consciences have been searched as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God creates is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truth of the faith and of good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Andrew. Good afternoon, or good evening, or good night. You know, this morning, the sun was shining. I was feeling good, but now it's all dark. Good afternoon or evening, everyone. I'm Jerome. I'm going to be talking to you guys today about 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'll start with my apology that I've got a cold. I hope it doesn't distract you today as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 together. This is my tissue, so hopefully if all things go well, I won't have to use it. But God is good. So let me just pray before I begin. Father God, I thank you so much that you call us to yourself, Lord. Father God, I thank you that you love us and that you come to meet with us here. And God, I pray that as I speak now, Lord, that you'd be ministering to people, Lord, and bringing things in their hearts, Lord, that they can take home with them. And Father, we want to be good witnesses for your gospel. We want to see lives change for the kingdom. Lord, we want all this and more. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. So, I'm Jerome. I'm going to be speaking to you about 1 Timothy chapter 4, and this is wonderfully located within our sermon series, which is the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. The series title is Learning and Leading, and what that basically means is that for all of us, we're all called to lead in some way, to have influence in the world that we're living in. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And I think wonderfully this scripture, for me, it speaks personally to me on many different levels, and especially because it's a letter written to Timothy. He was a young person like myself, and like many of us in this room. And, you know, young is a word that we can stretch to lots of things, isn't that, Brian? We can stretch the word young because people in the Bible live to all sorts of ages. Yeah, so for old and young people. So let me just go through the scripture and let's see what pops out and we'll see what we can discuss. I'll start reading from verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in the later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars, Jude, whose consciences have been seared as if, oh, come on, guys. It's a joke. Surely can't be serious. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving. Okay, I don't really know exactly what's going on here. I'm not quite sure about the context within this time. What people were saying, perhaps they were saying you shouldn't eat meat. Maybe they were saying that, oh, God will love you more if you're a vegetarian. I don't think that's the case, but maybe that's the ideas people are coming up with. Or perhaps people were believing that if you were married or not, or for whatever reason, that God will love you more, or that helps with your salvation. I don't know. But what is definitely clear about this is that people were being distracted by these false doctrines. They were being distracted by different things that were taking them away from the true message of the gospel. Do you get that? And, you know, there can be so many things that can distract us from a sold-out life for Jesus, that can take us away from the true calling of the gospel. And sometimes a thing that can distract us is sin. I know we don't like to talk about it too much, but thankfully we did have some confession earlier. Thank you very much, Jude. Not too hypocritical after all. And we recognize actually that we do all sin. Has anyone here ever sinned before? Come on, don't be ashamed. We all do things that are bad. We all sometimes put ourselves in front of other people and in front of God because, I don't know, it's, you know, it's fun. But it's not fun. I'm not good to sin. And, you know, perhaps some of us right here, and even now, may be struggling with something in our hearts that can be putting a void between us and God. It's very difficult for us to lead well, to have good influence, if we feel distant from God and feel distant even from the person that we know God is calling us to be, from our true selves, the true Jerome, the true Andrew, the true John, the true Naomi, and putting everyone, you know, that God calls us to be these people. And when we start sinning and when we hold these things in our hearts, actually, it's really hard for us to be our true selves. Anyone connect with that at all? You're allowed to speak. It's good. If you can get it on the microphone, it even sounds better. And it's very easy to be deceived. If you look at verse 2, it says here, it says, such teachings come from hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as if a hot iron. We were doing Alpha last week, which is great. And if you are interested in discovering your faith or learning more about Jesus, we'll be having another Alpha session starting in January time, I think. But we're going through Alpha. And there was a big topic last week about sin. And it was just amazing just to hear people talking about their dealings with, you know, how they deal with it in their own heart. And someone said, once you've done something once, it's so easy to do it again. And I think this is what it's kind of touching on here. Once you've stolen a bit of, I don't know, chocolate from the corner shop, it's so much easier to steal more because you've already done it. Your conscience gets seared. And I think it's so important that us, we take it to Jesus, no matter how far down you are on the line, you know, whether you've just done something once or whether you've done it for the umpteenth time. It's so important that we take these things to Jesus. I'm so blessed to see that we're having communion service today. And what a wonderful time just to come into the presence of God and just be honest with God. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Another thing that can distract us from the true gospel is just bad doctrine. It seems here people had straightforward bad doctrine. And obviously, perhaps these days we're not worrying about what food we should eat or whether we should marry or not, if that's got to do with our salvation. But I have noticed one thing, is that we can be wrapped up with ideas that we're not good enough. And while I was preparing this, I really thought it was so important to say this. So many of us, like, we feel that God doesn't love us because, oh, we're not cool enough, we're not as good as Jerome, you know, being cool. And, or, you know, you may feel, oh, because I'm not tall, or because I'm short, or because, you know, I don't have the best upfront-looking gifts, you know, and all these different things that people can put on our identity that have nothing to do with it. And it's so important that we know that actually God loves you for who you are as individuals. Amen. Good. And actually, as well as sins and bad doctrine and strange, crazy, weird church stuff, actually, general distractions can just distract us from the truth of the gospel. And I think for most of us, this would definitely resonate because, you know, I have a job. It's very fun sometimes. And as you can imagine, you know, you go to work, you go home, you go to bed, you're tired. You know, oh, why should I read the Bible this morning? I've got an hour to get to work, you know. And we can get so wrapped up in these things that they stop us. Oh, they don't stop us. We stop ourselves. They hinder us from our relationship with God. And it's not to say that it's not important to work or it's not important to go to university or it's not important to spend time with people. But what we shouldn't do is allow these things to take precedence in our life. There's a great story in the Bible where Mary and Martha were having some time with Jesus. I'll just tell the story. So Mary and Martha, I don't know if they were sisters or whatever, but they were all, were they? Yeah, great, fantastic. It works really well. They were all chilling with Jesus, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, just kind of soaking it all in. And Martha was doing all the bits that needed to get done in the house. So she was, you know, doing the washing up. She was cleaning the toilets, preparing the food. She was on every single church rota that was possible to be on. And, you know, these things are fantastic. But Jesus says to Martha, listen, Mary's doing the greater thing. Because it's important to spend time with God. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that you shouldn't get involved with the life of the church, that you shouldn't get involved with your university, of course. But it's important that we have a good balance. Does that make sense? Yeah, following me. It's good, no heresy here. And I'll share a little story about myself. So in my first couple of years of university, and Judah can testify to this because he was there for all of it, most of it, I was highly distracted by lots of good things. So I went to church on Sundays, on the Mondays, and it was Wednesday back then, actually, I think. And I went to the Christian Union. It was fantastic, 2 days a week there. I was involved in a band in Liverpool as well. We had gigs and stuff on the weekends. I was involved with a band back in Birmingham. Woo, shout out to them. And, like, you know, I was doing a radio station, all these great, wonderful things that are fantastic, right? But the thing is that I kind of forgot, and it slipped in my mind, that I was also at university to do work, you know? And, like, you know, it's not to say that being involved with church is bad. No, not of course not. It's not to say that getting involved with LS Radio is bad. Of course not. It's, they're wonderful things. We can get distracted by good things so that they take us away from our purpose. Does that make sense? Anyone recognize that? Yeah? So let's not be tired or overworked or jealous of people that are, you know, like Mary, Martha was with Mary. There are lovely good things that we can get involved with, rotas, uni work, family, etc. And we should do them, but it's not good to get wrapped up in them. And perhaps some of the issues that we have here in verse 1 to 5 are kind of talking about that kind of thing. People are getting distracted by things. Maybe it's a good conversation to have about what food you should eat. And maybe it's a good conversation to have about who or you shouldn't marry. Maybe it's a good conversation. But what that shouldn't be is something that distracts you from the gospel. And, you know, we all know what these things could be for us. We'll be having communion later, and, you know, before you go off, why not just take a moment, even if it's just 30 seconds, just to bring some things to mind, to choose intimacy over distraction. And if we are going to be effective witnesses for Jesus, if we're going to change this world, if we're going to, you know, make an impact in Liverpool and beyond, we need to have this gospel of Jesus central to our lives. We following? Awesome. And a second theme that I think is unavoidable, as much as I'd love to avoid it, would be this call to godliness, which is basically to behave like God, to be godlike. I love this scripture where God says, to be holy because I am holy. What a great thing. God is holy. So while we're here, and there's loads of us this afternoon, which is great, so it should be fun to get some variety. I thought it'd be great if people can just share some attributes of God that they like or don't like or whatever. So yeah, when you go ahead and throw out some attributes of God, go for it. Love, yeah. God is love. Faithful, yeah. Merciful, is that merciful? Yeah. Just, oh, love it. God of justice, truth and justice. Patient, yeah. Powerful, bang. He's kind. He is. Why not be shy? I need them. Forgiving. Inconvenient. Amen. Yes, he is sometimes very inconvenient. We'll get on to that. And last one before I wrap it up. Did I hear something? He's big. Our God is a great big God. Awesome. God is love. He is holy. He's set apart. He's unique, and some of us are more unique than others. He is gentle. He's kind. He's merciful. He's always faithful. Always good. He's strong, powerful, meek, kind, forgiving, relentless, joyful, steadfast, to name a few. And to be a good leader, to be a good person of influence for the kingdom of God in this world, we must strive to be like these things. Does that sound like an easy task for you? Sounds good? No, of course not. So let me go on reading on from verse 8. Okay, so from verse 8 it says this, "For physical training is of some value, But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Physical training, I don't do much physical training. It's quite cool. In my workplace, there's a gym upstairs. And so the guy who runs the gym, great guy, his name's Christian, but he's not one yet. And he's just brilliant. He'll probably listen to this because I thought he was helping me write the sermon this week, actually. But he was like, come on, Jerome, you need to get your wedding bod sorted. I was like, mate, I love cheese toasties. You know what I mean? But yeah, so he will tell you that physical training for athletes is an everyday thing. It's an everyday thing. You can't just half-heart, John's nodding his head, he knows. Like, you can't just half-heartedly I'll train once every month or something. If you want to do well at something, you need to put in good practice every single day. And I love the way that Paul likens training for godliness similar to training for physical stuff. So, what, you go to the gym every day? Every day, God's presence. Not just a Sunday, not just when you pray a prayer of commitment. I remember I was thinking when I was preparing the sermon about a time when I gave my life to Jesus. I was probably 13. But actually, just to say it ends there is just so untrue. Picking up your cross daily is what the call of a Christian is. And obviously it may have started then. That was the day my life changed. But actually, every single day I'm taking steps and steps closer to Jesus. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's an everyday thing that we have to be doing. I'll be reading verse 12. So command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Even if you look like Ed, he looks really young. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So it doesn't matter if you're young. Brian, it's okay. You're young. You. It's okay that you're young. Set an example in church and in the workplace, at university, in school, in the local pub. Be different. Be yourself. Be godlike. And it's so wonderful that, as we take steps to being more like God, actually we start to be more like our true selves. Anyone found that before? That God really releases ourselves to be who we're supposed to be. It's awesome. From verse 13. Until Paul comes. Paul's dead now. But until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Get stuck in with the body of Christ. We need to get involved with the body of Christ. And the stuff I've been talking about has been personal things that you can do every day. But actually, Paul's talking about doing things publicly together, to read, to study, and to live this life together. It's so wonderful that we have this gift of the church. Look around you. Come on, have a second, just look around. You're looking at the body of Christ. And obviously it's a lot bigger than this. We have a body of Christ in Liverpool, in the UK, in the world. But, we can't fellowship with all of them at the same time. So it's good to come to church together. We are God's gift to each other. We should read God's word with each other, discuss it and pray together. And I want to encourage you, if you've been coming to church for a while or not, if you don't have anyone that you can meet with weekly or bi-weekly or something to pray, to read God's word together, to have that transparency with someone that can actually say, how are you really? What's going on inside your heart? Are you okay? How can I be praying for you? If you don't find someone, you might have some friends that are just waiting for you to take that deeper level with. It's so important that we do this together. Be yourself. We are all different. Reading from verse 14. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands upon you. Do not neglect your giftings. It's just so wonderful to see people playing and singing. It's just awesome. People that have different gifts, use them. Be the person God has called you to be. If you can sing, then just sing. Go for it. Sing in the shower. Sing on stage. Sing as you walk down the street. Go for it. If you're a pastoral and you're really good at listening to people and actually, there are some people that are just really good at being talked to. It's a really good gift. Use it. Yeah. Allow people to talk to you. Get involved. If you are great with numbers, which I'm not, embrace it. If you've been given different gifts of the Spirit, if you have different gifts that God has given you in that regard, use them to build up yourself and to build up the church of Christ. And it's so important that we speak the truth of God over each other. Amen? Amen. All right. Be diligent in these matters. This is reading from verse 15. Be diligent with these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, focus. There's the, don't be distracted thing again. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. It's so important that people, not everyone like in church, could see everything about you. You know, you don't want to be too transparent. But like, it's so important that people can see actually that God is working inside your life. And it's so encouraging to see how people are growing. And, you know, I was just saying this morning how awesome it is to see Jude just learn to relax, you know, like just taking it. It's just relax. It's great. It's great. Since he's now he's not an associate vicar anymore, he's able to just, he's got the job. Do you know what I mean? He's got a job. And he's he's taken that. And it's really good to see, actually, Jude. Can we just, do you want to give Jude a round of applause? Just go on. You're embarrassed. You should be. He embarrassed me last week. Yes. But yeah, where was I? Oh, goodness. So be diligent. Devote yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. I think I've made my point on that. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Awesome. I'm going to be closing now. It'd be great to invite the band up to play some nice emotional music. It'd be great. But before I do close, I would like to share a story. And this is kind of a bit of a personal one, so I'm going to be a little bit transparent with you guys. Is that okay? Is that right? Yeah. Okay, awesome. It's going to be perfect. Like, it's going to be wonderful. The music, the words, it's going to work. So there was this time a couple of years back when I was at university, decades ago. And I think I was in maybe my second year. And I was just like, oh, I want to live a righteous life. I want to live a good life. Has anyone ever wanted to live a good life before? Has anyone ever been like sick and tired of having bad thoughts? Like, oh, what is this temptation nonsense? You know, no, I don't want to have to say no. I just want to do what's right all the time. Anyone ever been annoyed? Yeah, it's good. A bit of transparency. And so I was in my room and I was standing there and I was like, God, I'm tired of this, like, working to be a good person thing. I'm sick and tired of, like, you know, like, having to deal with these thoughts. And, oh, can't you just make me perfect today? Can't you just, like, take away all my sin, which he has, by the way, take all my sin and all my bad thoughts and everything and just make me just, like, the person that you've called me to be right now? Like, forget this process of sanctification thing. Not into it. Not into working out my salvation with fear and trembling. No. None of that. None of that scriptural stuff. I just want to do it my way. That's what's basically what I was saying, which obviously was wrong, by the way. And in this moment, it's quite emotional. I was crying. I felt the voice of God kind of speak to me in my heart. It wasn't a massive thing. It was just a subtle thing. And he said this: do you think you can drink from that cup? Do you think that you can drink from that cup? And in my mind, I had this picture of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, crying, sweating blood, realizing the seriousness of what he was about to do, to take upon all the sin of the world. And he's like, Father, if I don't have to drink this cup, please let it pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And I realized in that moment that I was saying, what I really was saying, even though I felt like I was trying to do something good, but what I was really saying was that the cross of Christ wasn't enough. That God's way wasn't enough. Which obviously is completely wrong. The cross of Christ is how we become God-like. It is how we enter a relationship with Jesus. And I'm so glad he taught me that lesson so I can stand here today and not be heretical. So I want to end by asking you a question. Does anyone want to be God-like? Does anyone want to? Yeah, good. Go on, don't be scared. Go on, put it up. Go on. I've got a mystery that I would like to tell you, the secret of becoming God-like. Would anyone like to know the secret of becoming God-like? Yeah? Oh, here we go. So exciting. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, in the one Jude was speaking of last week, he only touched on it because I'm better than him. It says this in verse 16. Beyond all question, the mystery of which true godliness springs is great. Beyond all question, I'm about to tell you how godliness is found, how you can be godly, how all of us can be Christ-like. And Paul goes on to say this. He, Jesus, appeared in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up to glory. If you want godliness, if you want to be like God, the person you need to look to is to Jesus and what he did for all of us on the cross that day. We can be godlike and we can have a relationship with God because there is a man named Jesus right now, seated in glory at the right hand of the Father. So I'd encourage all of us to put away these distractions that tell us, oh, that God doesn't love us, because it's right here. He does love us. And put away the distractions that tell you you need to do more to earn your salvation. Well, that's just not true, because the scripture here tells us that he loves us regardless. And if you think it's possible to become godlike in your own strength, once again, that's not true. The truth is that godliness is found in Jesus, in a relationship with him. So I'm going to hand over to the band, and we're going to be going into communion as well. Jude will come up in a minute. But let me just pray before I finish. So Father God, I thank you so much, Lord, that you call us to yourself. Lord God, that you made a way for us to have relationship with you. Lord God, I thank you that nothing, no power in heaven or in hell or on earth, Lord, can separate us from your great love. That these words are true. And so God, I pray now for all of us, Lord, for whatever kind of journey we're in, wherever we're at with you, Jesus, Lord, that as we take steps to you, Lord, that we would find you. We thank you so much for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.